Chapter 122. Said, in a low firm voice which no one heard but this executioner, for all other living creatures had retired, and left her to her fate, if I had a dagger within his fingers, and he was within my reach, I would strike him dead before me, even now. The man asked who? She said, the father of her boy. Apostrophe, Sir John drew back his outstretched hand, and seeing that the locksmith paused, signed to him with easy politeness, and without any new appearance of emotion, to proceed. It was the first word she had ever spoken, from which it could be understood that she had any relative on earth. Was the child alive? He asked. Yes. He asked her where it was, its name, and whether she had any wish respecting it. She had but one, she said. It was that the boy might live and grow, in utter ignorance of his father, so that no arts might teach him to be gentle and forgiving. When he became a man, she trusted to the god of their tribe, to bring the father and the son together, and revenge her through her child. He asked her other questions, but she spoke no more. Indeed, he says, she scarcely said this much to him, but stood with her face turned upwards to the sky, and never looked towards him once. Apostrophe, Sir John took a pinch of snuff, glanced approvingly at an elegant little sketch, entitled Nature, apostrophe on the wall, and raising his eyes to the locksmith's face again, said, with an air of courtesy and patronage, you were observing, Mr. Varden apostrophe, that she never, apostrophe returned the locksmith, who was not to be diverted by any artifice from his firm manner, and his steady gaze, that she never looked towards him once, Sir John, and so she died, and he forgot her. But, some years afterwards, a man was sentenced to die the same death, who was a gypsy too, a sunburned, swarthy fellow, almost a wild man, and while he lay in prison, under sentence, he, who had seen the hangman more than once, while he was free, cut an image of him on his stick, by way of braving death, and showing those who attended on him, how little he cared or thought about it. He gave this stick into his hands at Tyburn, and told him then, that the woman I have spoken of had left her own people, to join a fine gentleman, and that, being deserted by him, and cast off by her old friends, she had sworn within her own proud breast, that whatever her misery might be, she would ask no help of any human being. He told him, that she had kept her word to the last, and that, meeting even him in the streets he had been fond of her once, it seems she had slipped from him by a trick, and he never saw her again, until, being in one of the frequent crowds at Tyburn, with some of his rough companions, he had been driven almost mad by seeing, in the criminal under another name, whose death he had come to witness, herself. Standing in the same place in which she had stood, he told the hangman this, and told him too, her real name, which only her own people and the gentleman for whose sake she had left them, knew. That name he will tell again, Sir John, to none but you. Apostrophe, to none but me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the knight, pausing in the act of raising his cup to his lips with a perfectly steady hand, and curling up his little finger for the better display of a brilliant ring with which it was ornamented. But me, my dear Mr. Varden, how very preposterous, to select me for his confidence, with you at his elbow too, who are so perfectly trustworthy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Sir John, apostrophe returned the locksmith, at 12 tomorrow, these men die. Hear the few words I have to add, and do not hope to deceive me, for though I am a plain man of humble station, and you are a gentleman of rank and learning, the truth raises me to your level, and I know that you anticipate the disclosure with which I am about to end, and that you believe this doomed man, you, to be your son. Apostrophe, nay, apostrophe, said Sir John, bantering him with a gay air, the wild gentleman, who died so suddenly, scarcely went as far as that, I think. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he did not, apostrophe returned the locksmith, for she had bound him by some pledge, known only to these people, and which the worst among them respect, not to tell your name. But, in a fantastic pattern on the stick, he had carved some letters, and when the hangman asked it, he bade him, especially if he should ever meet with her son in afterlife, remember that place well. Apostrophe, what place? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Chester. Apostrophe, the knight finished his cup of chocolate with an appearance of infinite relish, and carefully wiped his lips upon his handkerchief. Sir John, apostrophe, said the locksmith, this is all that has been told to me, but since these two men have been left for death, they have conferred together closely. See them, and hear what they can add. See this Dennis, and learn from him what he has not trusted to me. If you, who hold the clue to all, want corroboration, which you do not, the means are easy. Apostrophe, unto what, apostrophe, said Sir John Chester, rising on his elbow, after smoothing the pillow for its reception. My dear, good-natured, estimable Mr. Varden, with whom I cannot be angry, if I would, to what does all this tend? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I take you for a man, Sir John, and I suppose it tends to some pleading of natural affection in your breast, apostrophe, returned the locksmith. I suppose to the straining of every nerve, and the exertion of all the influence you have, or can make, in behalf of your miserable son, and the man who has disclosed his existence to you. At the worst, I suppose to your seeing your son, and awakening him to a sense of his crime and danger. He has no such sense now. Think what his life must have been, when he said in my hearing, that if I moved you to anything, it would be to hastening his death, and ensuring his silence, if you had it in your power. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and have you, my good Mr. Varden, apostrophe, said Sir John in a tone of mild reproof, have you really lived to your present age, and remained so very simple and credulous, as to approach a gentleman of established character with such credentials as these, from desperate men in their last extremity, catching at any straw? Oh dear! Oh fie, fie! Apostrophe, the locksmith was going to interpose, but he stopped him. On any other subject, Mr. Varden, I shall be delighted, I shall be charmed to converse with you, but I owe it to my own character not to pursue this topic for another moment. Apostrophe, think better of it, sir, when I am gone, apostrophe, returned the locksmith. Think better of it, sir. Although you have, thrice within as many weeks, turned your lawful son, Mr. Edward, from your door, you may have time, you may have ears, to make your peace with him, Sir John. But that 12 o'clock will soon be here, and soon be past forever. Apostrophe, I thank you very much, apostrophe, returned the knight, kissing his delicate hand to the locksmith, for your guileless advice. And I only wish, my good soul, although your simplicity is quite captivating, that you had a little more worldly wisdom. I never so much regretted the arrival of my hairdresser as I do at this moment. God bless you. Good morning. You will not forget my message to the ladies, Mr. Varden? Peek, show Mr. Varden to the door. Apostrophe, Gabriel said no more, but gave the knight a parting look, and left him. As he quitted the room, Sir John's face changed, and the smile gave place to a haggard and anxious expression, like that of a weary actor jaded by the performance of a difficult part. He rose from his bed with a heavy sigh, and wrapped himself in his morning gown. So she kept her word, apostrophe, he said, and was constant to her threat. I would I had never seen that dark face of hers, I might have read these consequences in it, from the first. This affair would make a noise abroad, if it rested on better evidence. But, as it is, and by not joining the scattered links of the chain, I can afford to slight it. Extremely distressing to be the parent of such an uncouth creature. Still, I gave him very good advice. I told him he would certainly be hanged. I could have done no more, if I had known of our relationship, and there are a great many fathers who have never done as much for their natural children. The hairdresser may come in, peek. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the hairdresser came in, and saw in Sir John Chester, whose accommodating conscience was soon quieted by the numerous precedents that occurred to him in support of his last observation, the same imperturbable, fascinating, elegant gentleman he had seen yesterday, and many yesterdays before. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.